Good? Oh, we're good. Good? Well, we've been in a series about hearing the voice of God. I think I'm hearing God's voice is what we started. How many of you guys, has that blessed you? It's been a phenomenal time. I think we've been in it 6 or 7 weeks. I want to encourage you, as they're passing out some notes for today, if you haven't had a chance to hear some of the other ones, feel free to go on our website. If you go, yeah, but Tom, I did, and I didn't see it there. I also want to take this time to let you know we are revamping our player. And so if you've been looking for notes and messages, and 1 week they're there and the next week they're not, we're switching over to a new and a better player, so you'd be able to go back and find all of those, and it should be completed within the next couple weeks. So thanks for bearing with us on that. I apologize for that, but they will all be up there, the notes as well. But it's just been, I feel it's been a great time. We've heard all kinds of things from being governed by our spirit, knowing that we're going to be governed by something, whether it's our emotions, our mind, our body, or by our spirit, that God is a communicator. How many of you guys are glad that God communicates with us? He's a communicator by nature, and that we have an inheritance in that. The Holy Spirit often speaks in pictures. We spent a couple weeks on that, looking at how that is, and we've also looked at the blessing of living in spirit-to-spirit communication, the Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit. Also, that God uses the furnishings of our mind. Each one of us is uniquely different. We think different. We see things different. And it's the Holy Spirit, he kind of, as I heard it said once, unzips our head and looks and says, what do I have to work with so I can communicate with him the very thing that I want to communicate? And then we also heard about that we can be treasure seekers of his word and find those treasures throughout the word, because the word is another way that he speaks. Well, today I want to talk about hearing God's voice through surround sound. Hearing God's voice through surround sound. Have you guys heard surround sound? Good deal. How many of you guys been in a theater? Okay. Does anybody remember that first moment, if you had it in your house, you hooked up surround sound? You're used to maybe a mono or stereo, and you hook up, for whatever reason, when we moved to Texas, everything's bigger in Texas, so maybe that's why. We moved to Texas from California, and while we were there, our house came with this theater room, and it had surround sound in it, and we plugged in the speakers, and I remember putting a video on that my son and I decided this probably has the best effects in it, and it was a scene where there was a whole troop marching up over this grass embankment, and when we turned that thing on, it was the most amazing thing. I was sitting there in the center of the room, and you could hear the hoof marks hitting, the snorts of the horses, the bit rattling in their mouth. I mean, it actually made you feel like you were sitting in the room and you were experiencing these. How many of you guys have experienced that before? It's just an amazing thing, especially going from a place where maybe you only heard it from the front of the room where your television is. But what I want to talk about today is that we have the blessed privilege of hearing God through surround sound. So before we get into that, I want to show you something. I want to show you the difference between mono and surround sound. And my son's a sound engineer, and he's not here today, so I'm going to quote him like crazy so you know this is coming from someone that knows what they're talking about. So the first thing I want to talk about is mono. And mono describes a system where all the audio signals are mixed together and routed through one single audio channel. So it's all signals have one output. That's mono. Stereo, or true stereo sound system, have two independent audio signals or audio channels, and all the signals, they have two outlets. So if, what did I do? Sound guy's messing with me. There we go. Thank you so much. I know who's in my next video. So, no, I'm just kidding. But it's two channels. And if you've ever noticed stereo, if you have a television that's got speakers on it, it's coming out of the left and right, but it actually sounds like it's coming out of the middle. And through true stereo, it creates this little arc that's in front of you and allows you to hear in stereo, where it's coming from both sides, like probably what you're hearing. And then the last one is surround sound. And surround sound is a sound system with additional audio channels from speakers that surround the listener, providing sound from 360 degrees. It's 360-degree radius. Surround sound is characterized by a listener location, or what they call a sweet spot, where the audio effect works the best, like sitting in the middle of the room. Some of you guys have heard of Dolby 5.1. Okay, they have 7.1 as well. Those are the surround sound systems, so you're actually getting five different sounds. So if you're sitting in a Dolby surround sound, you've got the voices coming out in the front, you've got your left and right speakers, you've got rear speakers, you've got the subwoofer, and all of them, instead of creating just one noise or an arc, it creates this 360 where you hear it from every angle. So if a plane goes by this way, you hear it go by that way. If someone in the background is talking, you hear it over here. In our house, we have surround sound in our TV room, and sometimes, you know, if we watch a movie, we put it on. But some of the commercials and shows will use surround sound, so the speaker's right behind this one chair in our living room, and every once in a while, who's ever sitting there, something will jump out at the surround sound, and who's ever sitting there usually turns around like, what was that? Did you hear that? And at first, I'm like, what? And then I realize, oh, it's popping from the speaker right behind you. So surround sound gives us that opportunity to hear 360-degree radius. So instead of signals having one outlet or signals two, they have multiple. And 5.1 and 7.1, you go to some theaters and they've got like 35 point whatever. It's Dolby surround of a 5 or 7.1. They're just adding more speakers to enhance that effect. But here's the thing that I want us to catch through this. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. You were created for friendship with God in surround sound. Let me say that again. You were created for friendship with God in surround sound. Let me pull this into communication-wise. When we're talking about mono communication, it's allowing the Holy Spirit to speak in one way. No, this is the way I prefer. This is the only way the Holy Spirit can speak. It's got to come this way. It's got to come from this angle. And here's the crazy thing. God is so gracious that, you know what? He'll speak to us in that. If you go, nope, you know what? The only way I'm going to listen to the Lord is if he speaks through the word. That's it. The Lord in his grace, he'll speak to you. Or if you say, the only way I'm going to listen is who's ever preaching, who's ever teaching. That's the only way I'm going to listen. God will speak to you through that. So there's mono communication. Same with stereo. Maybe two are okay. Maybe I'll use the word and the guy preaching, and that's it. But what we've been created for is friendship with God, where we hear him in 360-degree surround sound. So it's experience. It's this amazing things that happens. It's not just this, you know, you think of, I meant to look this up, but I didn't have a chance to. Mono communication, I think of monotone. If I just stood up here and spoke to you all day in the same voice, you guys would nod off and start throwing things at me, right? But we've been given this privilege to experience friendship with God and hear him in surround sound. So think what that means is all of the ways that we've talked about that God speaks and all of the other ways that are throughout scripture that the Lord has spoken, whether it's through an angel or whether it's through a donkey, all of the different ways, that's the surround sound. So there's pictures, there's spirit-to-spirit communication, there's journaling, there's hearing from leaders, there's visions, there's dreams, there's prophets, there's angels, there's scripture, audible voice, circumstances, meditation, impression, trusted people, wife. I in no way meant that the wife was not a trusted person. I should have put that earlier. But these are all ways that God speaks so that we can experience 360-degree radius. An amazing thing with God. So again, you're created for friendship with God in surround sound. So I want to talk about this a little more. Grace brings friendship in surround sound. It opens the door. It unlocks this. Consider this. Grace bringing friendship in surround sound. The first thing with that is we have to recognize the beauty of what was restored through the cross. And the thing I want to focus on today is we have the privilege of being put back in the garden and walking in the cool of the day. When Jesus died on the cross, everything that was lost from the fall was restored to us. So think with me for a moment of what that was like. Think prior to the fall of what the garden would have been like. That every evening God came and spoke with them in the cool of the day. They were naked. It wasn't even a consideration of this is awkward or weird. They were with God. They were together. This is an amazing thing. The garden was created for them. I find it interesting that when you read this, and I don't want to spend a lot of time in this, but when you read this account, God creates the animals, right? And then he lets Adam name them. And it actually says that he let Adam name it, and he went to listen what Adam would name them. That speaks of friendship. He didn't say, look, this is what they're named, so this is what you'll call them. He said, Adam, you name him. And he wanted to see what he would name him. I mean, that right there is so amazing to me because it speaks of a desire to get to know, to relate to one another, to realize that maybe at the end was the ant eater. And he just looked and goes, it's eating ants, ant eater. Next. You know, who knows? But there was a relationship in the garden where they walked and they talked and experienced an amazing thing. There was friendship there. There was acceptance. There was a closeness to God. In Genesis 3:8, it says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That's what they got to experience. And because we're in Christ, guess what? That's what we get to experience. Walking with God in the cool of the day. There's no need to hide anymore. There's no fear of punishment. And there's no shame. All of those things came about after the fall. And so when Jesus, the final sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice, sacrificed his life, that's what we get to experience. Isn't that amazing? And I believe the garden setting was like surround sound, 360-degree radius of this amazing thing. So not only recognize the beauty of what was restored through the cross, but I want to pull something else in because we have to receive the invitation from Jesus. We're talking about this grace, and that's friendship. John 15:15, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. It's not the servant, do this, do that, do. It's a friendship. It's an amazing relationship that we get to experience. In other words, Jesus died so you could be BFFs. How's that? Best friends forever. He wanted this friendship that had community and intimacy and fellowship and friendship. See, one of the things that we've got to realize is there is at times this tug of war because we see what happened after and sometimes we forget to look what happened before and that we've been redeemed by Christ to experience this amazing friendship and surround sound. So if I can use this comparison with what I'm talking about today, you know, the law versus grace, we have mono. The way that it was spoken, we had to go before a priest. We couldn't even enter into the presence of God. But remember, at the cross, what was torn down? The veil that separated. And we now had intimacy. We now had relationship with God. We now have surround sound. The amazing thing about surround sound to me is the detail. The detail. If again, thinking back of surround sound, the detail of stuff that you get to hear when you're listening, it's so much clearer than when all of the signals have to pass through one thing. So much clearer. There's also the servant versus the friend. Jesus said, look, I don't want you to be considered a servant anymore. Do we serve the Lord? Yes, but as a friend. Jesus said, I don't call you servants any longer because a servant doesn't know his master's business. You know what the invitation was? Get involved. Be a part in. Not standing from the side and I'll dictate. Now get involved in this. Adam, name the animals. Experience our conversation together. So we've got mono, surround sound, servant versus friend. Ultimately, in the law, it was do what he says to gain fellowship. And now you have fellowship so you can do what he says. That's how grace brings friendship and surround sound. Because of what was accomplished through Jesus Christ, it's all open again. What was there at the garden, we get to experience. The conversations, the love, the understanding. So that brings us to a place where we have to consider some fallacies that we have to watch out for. And I just want to run through these briefly. I think they'll be up behind me. Some of the things that people may think is, I can't hear God because he's upset or he's disappointed with me. Or another one, I only deserve mono communication, if any communication. See, if we are in Christ, we're a new creation, amen? The old is gone and the new has come. And so we get to experience surround sound. You've been forgiven, past, present, and future sins, amen? There's been a relationship that's been restored. You were apart, but now you're together. You were far away, you were distant, but now you've been brought near because of what Jesus Christ did. Another one is God's already spoken to us, so we don't have to hear from him anymore. We don't have to speak to him anymore. You know, a recent analogy that I heard was that imagine having a baby, laying it in the crib, naming it, I'll use my son, Josiah, and then getting a sticky note and writing on it all of the things that I want them to do. Grow up, be kind, find a wife, get married, have kids, take care of me when I'm old, you know, all these things, and then stick it to the refrigerator. So anytime my son would come, I'd just point at the refrigerator. Let's go read what it says on the refrigerator. But that refrigerator. But that refrigerator. Bring me something back while you're there. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, you go, that's crazy, right? That's mono. That's how I'm going to speak to you, whatever on the refrigerator. Whatever it says there, that's what I'm going to tell. I already told you once, I'm not going to tell you again. How many people are married? Do you want a married communication, or sorry, a mono communication in your marriage? Or do you want surround sound? Do I tell my wife, look, I said I do and I love you when we got married? I'll tell you if anything changes. You think that would fly? No, me neither. I want a surround sound experience. Flowers, gifts, consideration, dates, going away together, experiencing new things, praying together, experiencing God's goodness. How many of you want those things? See, when we chose to be married, we entered into an intimate and a deep place where we get to experience all of these things together. It's surround sound. Why do we think any less with the Lord? You were created for friendship with God in surround sound, 360 degrees. It's coming at you from every angle. How about this fallacy? God has stopped speaking to me because I didn't obey the last thing he said. I've been told this before. Man, I'm struggling with hearing God. Well, you better find out what he said before because you probably didn't obey it. I'm in trouble. If you had to, think about that. I have to go back. I can't remember. That's why there's this thing. So now I have to figure it out anyway. Like I go, was it this? No. Is it this? No. God, can you give me a hint? You're getting warmer. Praise God, it's not like that. How about this one? I can't hear God because of sin in my life. Wait, okay, time out. So, before I knew Jesus, what was in my life? Okay, what? And I was in a pretty bad state, right? Didn't acknowledge him, didn't live for him, didn't anything. And how did I come to know him? He heard me, he spoke to me, he wooed me to him. So in my worst possible state ever, he spoke to me. But now, it's not gonna happen. No, your sin, you've been forgiven. Past, present, and future, because the blood of Jesus was enough. It's done, more than enough. It's done. So whenever we think our sin is keeping us away from hearing from God's voice, that's the enemy trying to throw these foolish little darts at us to get us not to communicate. To try to get us away from the revelation of the garden. Because that's what's been created for us. Another one, this is the last one. God only speaks in one way. You know, we got to be careful because sometimes we can sell ourselves short to the beauty of what God wants to do and speak to us by saying, well, he only speaks this way. I rambled off a list of all of these different ways, and no, that's not an exhaustive list, right? There's so many ways that God wants to speak to us. For me to say that I'm going to live in surround sound means, man, I'm going to consider the ways that God speaks, and I'm open to other ways. Here's something else you want to get. God loves to reveal himself through communication. Do you know that? This is the whole reason God speaks. If it was just about giving you an action to complete a task, we'd just all stay mono. There'd be lists on everybody's refrigerators. Just follow these directions. This is what you do. No relationship necessary. But that's not the way that it is. He loves to reveal himself through communication. I believe this is why he speaks. If we run back to the garden of what I said of allowing Adam to name the animals and discussion that took place, that's the building of relationship. I didn't walk up to my wife and go, hey. And she went, hey. Married? Okay. And then there's a relationship that built. She'd give me a list and say, if you want to marry me, these are the things you got to do. And I didn't give her a list to say the same thing. No, we grew in relationship together, experienced all kinds of things, and that's what you were created for, to experience with God. So I want us to look at somebody's surround sound experience, because I think this will give us a good look at some of the ways that God speaks, but then it'll also help us to look at how God revealed himself to this person. So the scripture is kind of long, and I'm going to jump around. You can read it on your own later this week. But let's look at Peter and his surround sound encounter. And we're going to start in Acts chapter 10. It's going to be up behind me here as well. We'll start reading in verse 9. It says, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kind of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. What happened to 13? 13 disappeared. There it is. Then a voice said to him, it's gone on mine. Then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure and unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Don't call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. So this experience that Peter has, sheet comes down, animals that he's never eaten, the voice tells him to eat it. He's like, no. It's not what I do. But the first thing that happens is he falls into a trance. And this is one of those words that sometimes people can go, okay, Tom, I'm cool if he speaks to me in other words, but what's this trance thing? What that's going to be like? That's kind of, you know? But this is the thing we have to realize. I'm reading this from the Bible. Experiences like this took place. When I was looking up the word to see what a trance was, some of the explanations were just in pure amazement and being stunned. Another definition said being taken to a place where everything else is completely gone in our minds, where God wants to speak something. Falling into a trance, being put in a place where you can hear from God. So the first way that God spoke to Peter in this is through the trance, is putting him in a trance. The second thing, there's five of them, I'll just tell you in advance. So it's Peter's Dolby 5.1 surround sound. So the second thing he said after that, or that took place, is he saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. So then there's a vision. So the Lord speaks to Peter through a vision, allows him to see. You know, this is one of those things where, how many of you guys see visions or dreams? How many of you want to see visions and dreams? I'll tell you, this simple little exercise you could do. Ask the Lord before you go to sleep. Ask the Lord when you get up, Lord, would you speak to me today in dreams or visions? If it's before you go to bed, get a journal and put it right next to your bed, because you're going to have to start writing. At some point, you're going to get it and you're going to write it down. And even if you go, no, I think that was bad chicken. I'm not sure what that was. Write it down. Write it down. Because there's times when I think that we discount what the Lord is speaking because it seems either too basic or it seems too crazy. That's right. Write it down. Take the chance to just write it down and say, okay, Lord, I don't know. And some of them you might not ever go back to. Other ones you might go back to, and things start coming as a result of it. I like to say that there's, and this is what surround sound is, sometimes things hold hands. You know, you get this dream, and then this word gets spoken to you, and then this passage is read, and it's the same one that you remembered, and you flip back and you go, oh, this is what this means. Are you with me? See, all of these are available to all of us. 360. One of the speakers is visions. One of them's dreams. It's all. Put a journal next to your bed and say, Lord, speak to me this way. So that's number two, the vision. The third thing, picking up in Acts 19, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, hold on a second. Here's Peter, one of the disciples. On this rock, I will build my church. He falls into a trance and he has a vision. And what's his response? What the heck was this? He's thinking about it. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, he's trying to figure what it meant. Consider Peter as being a Jew, and you'll see this as we go. There's stuff that he's asked to do that seems like crazy. The animals that were in the sheet, he's never eaten before. They were considered unclean, so he wasn't able to. So this thing happens to him. He's thinking about, what does this mean? So I'm telling you that because sometimes things God speaks to us, we go, I don't know what this means. That's okay. At this point, neither did it mean anything to Peter. Sometimes we got to wonder. So the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Don't hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter went down and said to the man, I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come? Again, even though the Spirit told him, go down and speak, he's still going, well, why did you guys come? He's still trying to figure this thing out. Verse 22, the man replied, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who's respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. So one of the other ways, and I believe Dion spoke about this, so did Greg, about spirit-to-spirit communication. So what happens is the Spirit of God speaks to Peter and says, Simon, three men are looking for you. Now, specifically what that sounded like, or was it an impression? Did he get a picture of three men at the door? You know, it doesn't say other than the Spirit of God spoke to him. It's another way that the Lord speaks to us. Don't hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. So they show up. Let's move on. The fourth one is in their description of why they are there. Again, Peter says, why are you here? He said, we've come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous man, a God-fearing man who's respected by all the Jews. And then Jewish people. And he says, a holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. So the fourth way the Lord speaks to Peter is through an angel. And it wasn't that the angel spoke to him, but in line with everything that he's hearing from this speaker and these speakers and this speaker, now what comes out is the guy that he's going to speak with had an angelic visit, had an angel speak to him and say, go get this guy and bring him here so he could say whatever. Did you see all these things falling together? All of these pieces. This is that surround sound. And again, it doesn't mean that the length of time is what has to be, or the subject has to be the same. I'm running through this to give us the idea of that God wants to speak to us in all of these different ways. And sometimes he could say one thing and we do it. Don't hear me say that doesn't fly. But we were created for this surround sound experience. So an angel speaks to Cornelius. And he tells Peter, or they send for Peter, and he comes. So that's number four. And then the fifth thing, verse 44. Now this is Peter's gone. He goes in and says, tell me the story. They tell him the story. He goes in their house, which was wrong for Peter to do in that time because he was a Jew. He wasn't allowed to associate with them. He even mentions that. But in verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, telling them about the good news of Jesus, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few more days. So the fifth way God speaks to him, he gives him a sign. He goes in there, he's preaching to Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit falls on them, and there's a sign. Sometimes the way the Lord speaks is he gives us a sign. Sometimes I call it he highlights something for us. Greg gave the testimony one time of being in a meeting, and someone asked him to pray for people, and the first person he prayed for bent over forward in an awkward position, and then the next person he prayed for bent over backwards, and he stood back, and he thought, wow, this is wild. And it was later that he felt like the Lord told him that was a sign that to be a herald of this gospel, you gotta be flexible. And so one of the things that he shared is, man, I wish I would have got that and understood it right then and there, but the Lord brought him clarity on that. So sometimes there's a sign. Peter's standing in front of these people, still trying to figure out what's going on, getting little bits and parts, and the Holy Spirit falls on the people that he's preaching to. It's a sign to him. So that's his 5.1 Dolby surround sound, but honestly, that's cool and all, but the next thing I think that is so important is for us to realize, how did God reveal himself to Peter? Because if we believe that this is why God wants to communicate, then let's look at this. So how does God reveal to Peter about himself? I want to look at Acts 10:28, and I think it's going to be up here. He says this, he said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or to visit with a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask you why you sent for me? So it's a little revelation that Peter gets that he says, but God has shown me not to call anyone impure or unclean. So the first thing that God reveals to him is his loving nature. It shows Peter his loving nature that not to call anyone impure, and he shows that by showing him unclean animals. And so in Peter's mind was, these are unclean people. But God begins to reveal himself, and he starts with revealing his loving nature. Each time the Lord speaks to you, I believe we can look to see, what is he trying to reveal to us about who he is? Because it furthers that relationship. So the first thing he does is his loving nature. The second thing he shows him, a little farther in scripture, in verse 34, it says, then Peter began to speak, and he says this, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. So now Peter's moved to, I now realize how it's true. So the next thing he shows is his accepting nature, that he doesn't show favoritism, but accepts others from every nation. So Peter's, this revelation of what God's trying to show him is being, you know, unpacked, if you will. And he's not only realizing how loving God is, but that he's accepting to other people. He's starting to see that, wow, God wants to do something with these people just like he did with us. And then the third thing he reveals to Peter comes out of Acts 10:47. Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The third thing is his including nature, extending the beautiful gospel of grace to all people. And this is when Peter gets it. Everything has come together. He saw the vision. He was in the trance. He saw the sign. He's doing this. He gets in that place, and God is revealing himself to Peter in such a way that he realizes, oh my gosh, how loving is our God? How accepting is our God? And how amazing it is that he's including. He's including these people that, as far as he was concerned, wasn't included before. Isn't that amazing? And at each step of the way, Peter gets to grow in a greater depth and relationship with his Father. It's no different than when we're sitting here, something's happening, and something strikes you, and you're blown away with the kindness of God. He reveals his kindness to you, and you go, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Are you still with me? So the Holy Spirit often speaks in surround sound. Often speaks in surround sound. I want to share a testimony because for me, this is a way that God just shouted to us through circumstances of myself, Michelle, and our family moving here. And I want to preface it by saying, look, this was a pretty major decision that we went from handing over a church and that we were leading in Texas and moving here to Atlanta to be a part of Northlands. But I don't want the bigness of the decision to lose the application to anything we're experiencing. Does that make sense? I want us to realize that we were created for friendship in God in surround sound, and that's in everything we experience. Every time that he speaks, every time he shows you, there's an opportunity to grow in your knowledge and understanding of him. But I just want to spend a little time sharing with you how God did this surround sound thing for us. It was probably about 2.5 years ago, well, maybe about 3 years, maybe about seven, no, I'm just kidding, 3 years ago. And we were in a place where each year Michelle and I would spend time praying and saying, God, give us a word for the year. What are you speaking to the church that we're leading? What are you speaking to us? Give us a word, because we found that each time when you have confidence to be in the place that you're in and you hear from God, man, it doesn't matter what storms come. You stand in the face and you go, yeah, but I know I'm supposed to be here. So blow harder, I'm staying, you know? So for us, we were asking the Lord, honestly, circumstances weren't aligning themselves with the promise that we felt the Lord gave us. So it caused us to start seeking him. And so we said, Lord, give us a word. Well, what are you speaking about? What's going on now? What are you speaking over our church? What are you? And so a lot of what we were asking for was in a specific area. And to be honest with you, we didn't hear anything right away. It was a little quiet, if you will. And so we just said, well, we're going to pray. Through the course of this, we were planning to come here for a Grace to the Nations conference. I think it was the second one. But because of circumstances, we couldn't afford to go. And we were disappointed because we'd loved coming to conferences here. But we had some friends who were going to be traveling from South Africa, no, from Australia, and they were coming here, and so we wanted to see them. They had been on eldership with us in Texas, and so it was like, oh, you guys are going to be there. We're going to be so close, but we can't come. Through the course of conversation, they said, we can't come either. So it was kind of like, okay, we feel better. No, I'm just kidding. So honestly, it was like, wow. But so the course of conversation, they called us and said, you know, we feel like we're supposed to pay for you guys to go. And I said, well, man, that's great, but you don't understand. We'll fast the week we're there. We don't have funds for anything. And they said, no, we feel like we're paying for the whole thing. And I was like, wow. And so I went back to Michelle and I said, you know, I bet you the Lord's going to speak to us at the conference. He's going to give us clarity on what we're asking for. And so we decided, hey, let's go. So we came to the conference, phenomenal conference, wonderful time. It was just great all the way around. And we went home with no answer to what we were praying. And, but it wasn't, I'm not saying that as a bad thing. It's just what we were specifically asking for. But it was so weird to us that our experience in communication with God was to ask, give us a word, and he gave it, that for us, we said, you know, something's off here. Something's in the way, we need to shift things. So Michelle and I decided to fast. We decided to go on a fast and ask the Lord, hey, speak to us about this. And immediately as we started the fast and asked the Lord to speak to us, he started to shift our perspective. We were asking, you know, for us, we were asking this church in this time, give us a word. And I felt like the Lord was saying, but it's not for here. And so it kind of put us back. And I said, wow, Michelle. And we started having conversation about what if the Lord is saying, I want you to think bigger. I want you to think further, not just in this little spot. So once that happened, we just said, okay, Lord, we're open. You know, we followed you to here and we're going wherever you want us to go if that's what you want us to do. So we called our friends in Australia and said, hey, would you join with us in praying? I can give you a lot of details. We just feel like there's a big decision. And they said, yeah, no problem. Greg and I were great friends. He'd come down to the church in Texas and help us shift the church and was down there a lot. So on Monday, I called Greg and said, hey, would you pray with us? And I'll get to some details in a minute. I'll share. When I was on the phone with Greg, it was funny. I called him and I said, hey, Greg, are you busy? And he goes, well, I am in a meeting, but what do you need? And I said, man, I just need you to pray with us. I'm not sure what the Lord's doing, but I feel like he's asking us to look bigger and further. Maybe we're going to be leaving. Maybe we're going to be going someplace else. Please don't say anything. But I just feel like God's wanting us to open our eyes way bigger. Well, Greg he's kind of quiet on the phone. I was like, are you there? And he goes, yeah, I'm here. And I said, okay. And he said, is that it? And I said, yeah. And he said, okay. So we hung up and Michelle goes, what'd he say? And I go, I don't know if he was happy about the idea. I'm not sure what, you know, it wasn't typical Greg for me. So got off the phone. A couple days later, our friends from Australia called, actually on a Wednesday, it was the third day of our fast, called and said, hey, I did hear from the Lord, but I don't want to tell you. Thanks for the encouragement. Talk to you later, you know. I said, what are you talking about? And they said, well, I'm not sure how you're going to respond. And I said, well, I don't care. If the Lord spoke to you, tell me. So basically what they said is, we feel like the Lord's saying it is time to move, and the next place you go, you won't be leading. I said, yeah, you're right, I don't like you. Boom. No, I'm just kidding. I said, wow, that's interesting, because it's similar to what Michelle and I have been getting. So a little while later, the phone rings, and it's Greg, and I'm talking to Greg, and he goes, hey, about the call the other day. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, is everything okay? And he goes, well, I happened to be in a meeting with Michelle, his wife, and one of the other elders, and they asked, we were talking about hiring somebody, and they said, if you could hire anybody, anybody, no strings, no nothing, who would it be? And he said, I just said, well, Tom and Michelle, but I don't think they would. And the phone rang, and I looked, and it was you, and you told me what the Lord was putting on your heart. And I said, nah, I can't be anything, right? So I remember sitting there, we finished our conversation, and I said, Greg, I really think God's doing something here. And he says, so do I. Look, there's a lot that needs to happen. Let's just take it one day at a time. I hung up the phone, and I looked at Michelle, and I said, we're moving to Atlanta. And she said, really? And I said, yeah, and I began to explain it. It just fit with everything. And there was a ton of details. We hadn't said anything to the eldership team. We had great folks. I don't know how they're going to respond. I don't know how the elders here were going to respond. But through the course of events, we went and told our eldership team, and as we told them each as a couple, one of the couples we shared with, she started laughing. And I'm like, wow, you really want us to go, you know? And she said, no, it's not about wanting you to go. God told me this about a week ago. I said, what did he tell you? He said that you were going to be moving, that I was taking them. So I'm just sitting there going, you got to be kidding me. Why didn't you tell me? No. So then confirmation on everything just began to flood our life to where when we told the people, I asked God, who's going to take it over? He shifted my you know, visibility in the way I was seeing, and there was a guy who had just moved there, an old friend of mine. We were on staff together at a church to hand it over to him. It was just amazing stuff. We came, met with the elders. It was a great meeting, as far as I know. It was a great meeting. And everyone was happy, and then we moved here like, remember December, January, February, 4 months later. Everything just fell into place and moved. And I share all of that with you because, and this is like the quick version, but the way that God spoke to us, everything, every angle, people in other parts of the world, scriptures, things we were feeling, pictures, signs, and it all just pointed to exactly what God was calling us to do. And what we walked away from, though, was I remember praying with Michelle at the beginning, and I said, Lord, this is exciting, and I'm willing to go, but man, I gotta know, because I want that confidence that we could stand there. And, you know, I almost felt, I'm comical in mind, so I almost felt like God was saying, you get it? And I was like, yeah, I got it. He goes, good. Now do you get it? Yeah, I believe it. Like, now do you believe it? You know, just pouring out the confirmation so that beyond a shadow of a doubt, no matter what happened, this is exactly where God had us, and this is where he was moving us. So for us, we got to see him as an incredible provider. We got this feeling like the Lord was saying, look, I told you I'd never leave you or forsake you. And not only that, but I go before you. He showed us, we were overwhelmed at his loving kindness and his goodness and how considerate he was. And not to get into great detail, but prior to this whole time, when we had made a choice, we were leading one church and we wanted to change directions completely. And to be honest with you, it was an extremely difficult time. We lost a lot of friends through that. There's a lot of pain that we went through. It's just, it was brutal, to be honest with you. And the last day that we were at our church in Texas, a gentleman came in from the Colorado area, and he said, you know, I feel like I have a word for you. And Michelle and I were standing there. And this had been a word that had been spoken, but he said, today starts the day that the Lord begins to repay the years the locusts have eaten. And it was like an explosion. And for us, that's what we've seen. It's just been amazing in every aspect. So I share all of that to say that God didn't send Jesus to die for us so that we could have a mono relationship or continue in a distant. He died so that we could have this incredible surround sound experience and hear from a loving Father who's out to do you good. He's not trying to snag you or to catch you. He's out to do you good. And all of the different ways that we get to hear, the more ways we're willing to open up for God to speak, the more we learn his character and his nature of who he is, and the more we grow in fellowship and relationship with him. It's an amazing thing. So I want to just talk briefly in closing, practical things, keys to sound, surround sound, if I can call it that. Number one, we got to consider the different ways that God speaks or is speaking to you. I have a list on here. If God doesn't speak to you in dreams or vision, ask him to. See, this is an amazing thing. When my son needs something or wants something, he comes and he asks me. And if, as a loving father, I want to give him whatever I can. Right now for Matthew, it's Legos. No, just kidding. For Josiah, it's Legos. Hey, Dad, can you get me this? Can you get me that? And of course I do. And I'm looking for his best interest and to express love to him. I can say that because Matthew's not here, so he won't know. So don't tell him. Just kidding. So It's this amazing thing. Our Father's the same way. It was his initiation. He could have set this all up to just be, here's a list, put it on the fridge, follow the directions. And that's how it was going to be forever. Couldn't he have set it up that way? But you know what? When Christ came, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Everything changed. Guide, our counselor. Everything changed. So consider the different ways. The lists are up. No, they're not up there. They were up there. The lists are up there for you to consider. God, speak to me in this way. And when you're reading scripture on your own, when you notice a way that God speaks, say, hey, you spoke to this guy. My neighbor has a donkey. Speak to me, you know, whatever. Okay? We always got to remember that all words, no matter how they come, are filled with purpose and power. All words that God speaks. So the second thing, take some time to ponder the details. The thing I love about surround sound, as I told you, is all of the details. One of the interesting things is surround sound, it's said at the beginning when I told you, is characterized by a listener location or a sweet spot where the audio effects are the best, right? Jesus puts you in the sweet spot. He stuck you in the middle of this whole conversation so that you could hear the best, the clearest quality, and from every angle. The more outlets we have, the clearer the picture you can paint. The Holy Spirit uses the furnishings of our mind. The third thing, find his nature in what he's speaking. Because remember, a message bears the nature of the ruler. And he's always going to reveal his nature to you. That's the whole reason for this relationship, to show you how kind he is, how wonderful he is, how considerate he is, that he goes before you, that he provides for you, that you could trust him, that you could count on him. And then the last thing, keys to surround sound. Number four, enjoy it. You're created for it. Jesus paid for it. So go and enjoy it. It's time for us to go back to the garden and walk with God in the cool of the day, because that's what Jesus purchased for you. So I want us to try something. You know, one of the things we've been doing in this series, Richard, can I have you, do you mind playing the piano for me? Just sing a song. No, I'm just kidding. One of the things we've been doing at the end of each service is spending some time taking some practical steps on, okay, but how do we do this? How do we open up to surround sound? And so one of the things that I want to do is I'm going to give us some practical steps. So there is a piece of paper that says, I forget what it says. It says, do this now, or whatever. What does it say? Help me. Application during service? In sermon application. There we go. Thank you. So we're going to try this now, and I'm just going to ask Richard to play, and I'm going to give you a couple things to do. And as I was praying this morning, well, I'll explain that when I give them to you. But let's just pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for what you did on the cross, for the amazing door that grace opens for us. That which was lost, we get to experience. That we get to experience friendship with you in surround sound. That we get to hear from all of these different angles and places. And the beauty of the other things that you accomplished on the cross gives us freedom and license to hear. There's no more fear of punishment. There's no more shame before you, Lord. So, Father, we choose today to want to walk in that garden with you and to hear from you and to experience surround sound. God, we're willing to say, Lord, any way you want to speak to us, please do. We open areas that maybe we didn't understand before, and maybe now we do, or that are new, or still some we don't, but we just ask, God, would you speak to us? Lord, we're amazed by the friendship that you want with us. So this is what I'm going to ask us to do. I'm going to ask you, we're just going to close our eyes. I'm going to ask, would you ask the Lord to speak to you? And you can say a specific area. One of the things I felt this morning is that there's some things the Lord's already spoken to you. He's going to bring back to remembrance. So just ask the Lord, Lord, would you speak to me right now? And see what he tells you. And then just write that down in that spot. Some of you, I feel like the Lord just wants to tell you what he thinks of you, how much he loves you. Thing that I want you to do is to consider, what does this tell you about who he is? How is he revealing his nature to you? Consider what he's spoken and how he's revealing himself to you, and then write that down as well. Some of you are still writing, but I just want to encourage you that, as we've said each week, this practical step is something that you can do at any time, in any place. In your book, there's also a few exercises that I've given you that you can do this week just to continue to put this into practice. And then also, as I said, I want to challenge you. Maybe if you have time to look at that list and consider a new way that you'd be willing to have the Lord speak to you and say, Lord, speak to me in this way. And ask him specifically, and then look for that communication to come with you or to come to you. Again, you're created for friendship with God and surround sound. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for the beauty of relationship that we get to have, for the fun that it is, for the adventure that it is, for the power that it brings, for the lives that get changed, both in ours and in other people. And God, we're so grateful that it didn't settle for just mono, but you made a way through Christ for us to have surround sound. And so that's what we choose. And we thank you for that. And we bless you. We ask, Lord, that you'd speak to us in new ways this week. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.